Hey, friends, my name is Becky Kopitsky, and this is the Inspired Business Podcast, where we talk all about how to earn a God-honoring income from your creative work so that you can serve more people in less time and sustain your message financially. In this show, you'll discover smart and biblically sound strategies for growing your reach, promoting your content, honing your craft, and building a business that's based on your top priorities of family and faith. Together, we're going to boost your influence and your income so you can keep changing the world one conversation at a time. I am so glad you're here. Hi, everyone. Today, we are talking about how to price your digital product or your online course. And can we just take a minute before we dive in to acknowledge that pricing is a sticky issue? I mean, have you taken a trip to the grocery store lately? You don't have to be a genius to figure out that what a carton of eggs cost 6 months ago is not what a carton of eggs cost today. I was wheeling through the Walmart aisles just a few days ago, and I did a double take when I glanced at the shelf at the price of my favorite box of cereal. For a second there, I thought maybe I'd been transported to the expensive grocery store on the other side of town. But nope, this was still Walmart, where cereal is supposed to be $2 cheaper per box than at some of the other places near my house. And you know what? As it turns out, it is still $2 cheaper. Now that $6 price tag on my box of cereal is the less expensive price. And I know a lot of us are frustrated with that. When the cost of living increases, we as business owners need to compensate for that. We have to compensate for that in our businesses somehow. So when prices rise, when expenses rise, we can either make more money or cut our expenses. Smart businesses will do a mix of both. But you know what my favorite option is? It's to make more money. That's a lot more fun than cutting expenses. So the question becomes, how? How do we make more money? Well, okay, we could sell to more people, meaning we can increase our quantity or our sales, or we can increase prices, so that even if our sales volume or the number of customers or clients that we get stays stagnant, we'll still be bringing in more income. Which brings us back around to that sticky topic of pricing. So how do you know if your current prices are competitive? How do you know if the price you're giving a new product or a service is the right price? Will anybody buy your stuff when they're all cutting expenses just like you and I are? These are the questions that keep us up at night, right? So in today's episode, we're going to gain some clarity and some confidence around this topic of pricing. And it starts with a piece of really encouraging news, okay? Prices can be changed. Pricing, yes, it is an important decision in your sales process. But one thing I want you to remember is that your price is not carved in stone. Think of it as a living, breathing factor. You don't set your price once for all eternity. You can test it and tweak it. And as you discover how the market responds to your product or to your sales funnel, you can adjust your price. However, you and I do want to aim to launch our products with the best possible outcome. And so there are factors to consider that will help us get near the bullseye of that sweet spot price, ideally when we launch. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about how to get to that sweet spot price. First, we're going to talk about a few general guidelines or best practices for pricing before we get into some of the details on where should we land with our prices. So a few general guidelines. First of all, understand if you're selling a digital download, you are not selling just the paper that your PDF is printed on. If you have a digital product and it's a downloadable PDF, for example, your product should not be priced according to the number of pages that it fills. Your product is worth more than that. This is because you're selling not the pages, but the knowledge, the convenience, and the solution that are provided inside the product. You are selling a transformation. You're bringing your customer from point A to point B. If you've heard me talk before, I talk about that a lot. So your product is worth more than the paper it's printed on. Okay, but number two, you're also not selling an hourly consultant fee for the time that's involved in creating or consuming the project. Your product is worth less than that. For example, If you're selling an online course that contains 6 hours worth of video content and your one-to-one coaching rate is $100 an hour, you cannot automatically charge $600 for your course, especially if that content is pre-recorded. The idea here is to offer $600 worth of value, but at a price that you can scale, meaning you can sell it to more people than you can possibly handle in a one-to-one schedule. It becomes a selling point then to say, this is a $600 value, but I'm only charging $197 or whatever it might be. All right, that's number two. And number three, as a general guideline, is that most downloadable PDF products can be priced between $7 and $59. We look at downloadable PDF products as being in that impulse purchase range, but online courses can be priced anywhere between $19 or $1,900 or more. So where does your product fall within those spectrums? That is our next consideration. So I just mentioned these general guidelines for pricing, but now we need to talk about the factors that are going to determine the most effective price point for what you are offering in particular. So first, what is the value add to the customer for your product? What value is your product adding to their lives? Are you saving them time? Are you saving them money? Are you making them money? Are you providing training or guidance that you would otherwise charge for? And at what rate? $50, $100, $200 per hour? Again, you can't charge a one-to-one same rate as you would for personalized one-to-one services, but do consider your hourly rate or the amount of time or money that your solution will save the buyer as a starting point for determining value. And here is a little tip that I like to keep in mind, which is that people will pay, I don't know why, but people will pay more for a product that either helps them save money, make money, or lose weight. So if you are in the wellness industry, you have an advantage simply by being within an industry where people are desperate for change. If you are helping people to make money through a program, I mean, this is what we do at the Inspired Business. We help content creators generate income from their content. So that is going to appear more valuable to people than, for example, selling a Bible study. It doesn't make sense. As spiritual people, we know that Bible study can actually transform you in ways that human beings cannot. But again, it's what people will put their value on, what they're willing to pay for. So keep in mind, if you're going to help people learn how to make money or lose weight, those two areas people will continue to pay for, and you can potentially charge more than you might for a comparable product in a different industry. All right, number two, the next consideration for pricing is how many pages or video sessions are there or contained within your product? Again, this is not because we're charging per page. Do not compare your digital product price to the cost of a 200-page printed book. A 200-page printed book is going to be $15.99 max. That's the way the publishing industry works. But your digital product is providing a solution. It's providing a solution to people that they will recognize as being valuable when you use the right marketing language that shows them you're offering them not the pages that the product is printed on, but you're offering them a transformation. You're offering them a solution to their problem. And they will be willing to pay more money for that than they would even for a book, because in our heads, the book industry is $15 or $12 on Amazon. Okay. Now, again, in general, more pages or more lessons does not mean you can automatically charge more, but do consider that the number of pages or the number of video sessions you have likely means more information, but then also consider the type of information. For example, a 10-page printable of bingo sheets is probably not as valuable as a 10-page guide of Facebook ads strategies. So consider the type of information and how much of that information you are providing with your product. And next, where does your product fit within your sales funnel? In other words, is this an initial offer? Is this the entry point of your funnel where people are just meeting you? They're just hearing about your products and your services? Or is it an upsell? Is it the offer that comes after the initial offer? Typically, upsells can be priced higher than initial offers because the initial offer is meant to get the customer in the door. And then an upsell is a bigger offer that you can present after the customer has experienced your first product or your first service. And then Fourth consideration is, will you be running ads to the product? Now, I don't recommend running ads unless you are really well educated in running ads and you feel confident and comfortable with running ads. If you are going to run ads, you're going to need to price your product high enough to at least cover the cost of the ads, with the objective, ideally, of generating a profit from those ads. So I recommend $19 minimum for a standalone product, meaning if you don't plan to follow it up with an upsell. You could go as low as maybe 14 if you have a strong converting upsell to help increase your overall return. But I think you're going to be safest actually with a product of $27 or more, especially since ads are a bit of a trickier environment now than they were 2 or 3 years ago. Okay, here are a couple of tips on pricing. Sevens and nines convert best for most industries. And this is a sales psychology fact. It's weird, but it works. If you end your price in a seven or a nine, for example, $27 product, a $37 product, $197 product, that's going to convert better than ending your digits with zero, $30, $40, $200. End with a seven or a nine. Also, anything higher than $59 or even $47, it tends to feel too rich for an initial offer or a cold offer, an offer to a cold audience who doesn't really know you well. If you have a more costly product, try starting with a lower price item first, then upselling to the higher price product. This isn't a hard and fast rule, and it's generally going to depend on your audience and on your own philosophy on pricing, but it's something to consider and something to test. And then another tip, please let the data rather than your opinions inform your decisions. Let the data rather than your opinions or your feelings inform your decisions. Track your sales and your conversion rates and figure out how many people buy your product at $27 versus $37. And even if your opinion is screaming that your product is worth $57, but nobody is buying it at $57, just you have to follow the data to sell your product at the price where most people will buy it. So analyze the stats, do the math, figure out where at what price point you make the most profit, and let those numbers inform your decisions for moving forward. Okay, so beyond determining how much you're going to charge, let's talk about the framework that you're going to put around your offer. And this next consideration has to do with urgency or scarcity. So for example, does your price or your offer include some sense of limited time option or only a few people can get this? These two factors of urgency and scarcity can help motivate people to buy as long as you do it authentically. For example, an urgent offer might be offering a special or a lower price, or a special offer, maybe the same price, but with extra bonuses, but doing it only for a limited time. When you're introducing a new product, consider offering a reduced introductory rate or a special limited time founder's price. For example, this week, I'm offering my new Bible study bingo kit for only $27. After Friday, the price goes up to $39. That simply motivates people to convert without waiting, without kicking the tires. It gives them a motivation to say yes to your product. On the other hand, scarcity is when you offer a deal, a special price, or extra bonuses to a limited number of customers on a first-come, first-served basis. And that would be, for example, the first 100 customers to get my Bible study bingo kit will get this added bonus, or they'll get it for only $27, and that's 30% off the regular price. So that's another approach to using scarcity or motivation of a time restraint. Okay, other scarcity strategies include only offering a limited number of products. And this makes sense for bigger ticket services, such as guided online courses, for example, where maybe you really only have enough capacity to manage 100 students at a time or 10 students at a time. Or you could offer access to your product only on rare occasions, such as enrollment only opens once a year or only during a flash sale. That's another scarcity strategy. Here's my hot tip when it comes to urgency and scarcity is to, I alluded to this earlier, do not allow urgency and scarcity to ruin your authenticity. If you are saying it's only available at this price until Friday, then make sure it's only available at that price until Friday. Be true to your word. Don't keep offering that same offer on Saturday and Sunday. I mean, every once in a while, it's okay to say, hey, I've had so many people asking about this. I've decided to extend the sale one more day. That's okay. Like I said, it's a living, breathing thing. You can do that. But if you set your program price inauthentically by trying just to use a tactic to get people to buy by Friday, so you're going to say it's cheap, but then you're actually going to keep offering that same price for a full year, that's less authentic. Consider not doing that. We don't want to be part of the infomercial jokes, right? Like, order in the next 10 minutes and you'll get not just one, but two whizzy gadgets. Don't be that, okay? Urgency and scarcity do motivate buyers to take action, but please aim to present your offer in a kind and a genuine way without any infomercial sales talk. Okay, finally, our last consideration for pricing is coupon codes. Will you offer a discount code or a coupon? You could choose to set a regular price and offer discount codes for certain customers to use in the checkout. And coupon codes can be effective. They can be effective opt-in incentives for a lead magnet that draws people to your offer. Like, sign up here, give me your email, and I'll give you 20% off. I mean, goodness, almost every retailer that we know of does that, right? However, keep in mind that for some people, coupon codes can actually be a deterrent. Because when a customer lands on your checkout and sees a field for entering a coupon code, but they don't have a coupon code, they could presume that that means they're not getting the best price. And they might abandon the checkout to go search for a coupon code. And chances are they're not going to find it because you are a small independent business and you're not Old Navy. And so you're not going to have your coupon codes readily available on the first page of a Google search. So without exact keywords, buyers are really not likely to find any pages mentioning your coupon code in the first scroll or two of search engine results. So it's up to you to determine if you want to offer coupon codes and then test them to determine if they're effective for you. If you'd rather not offer them, then I recommend leaving the coupon code field off of your checkout page, if that's possible. Just eliminate it from your checkout page. A lot of checkout tools will allow you to omit that field from your checkout page design so that whole, you know, abandon to search for a code problem is not going to become an issue. Here's a great solution, though, that I personally use. It's built-in coupon codes. That means when a person lands on your checkout page, the coupon code will automatically appear and make it look as though the customer is getting a really great deal, which they are, but they're seeing visually that that coupon code is already built in. So see if your checkout tool has this capability. I know SamCart does and ThriveCart does as well. This way, everybody really is getting the coupon code without having to go search for it. So if you have a 20% off sale or a 50% off sale, whatever it is, on your product, build that coupon code right into the checkout so that when people click on it, they automatically see the code is entered and the discount is already accounted for. Okay. Wow, this has been a lot of information on pricing, but I hope it was helpful to you. And here's one last thing. The past few weeks, I've been encouraging you all to get on the wait list to be the first to hear about our Black Friday offer. And I'm really excited about it. We're going to be revealing soon what that offer is later this week. So if you want to be the first to know, go to theinspirebusiness.co/waitlist and enter your name and your email address. And we're going to shoot you an email before everybody else hears about it. And then if you take us up on that Black Friday special, we'll give you a special bonus gift just for being on the wait list. So again, that's theinspiredbusiness.co/waitlist. Now, what pricing strategy am I using there? I'm not actually reducing a price for anything by asking you to be on the wait list, but I am saying you're going to get a bonus if you're on the wait list. So do you see how I incorporate everything I teach to you in my own business? And everything I use in my own business, I teach to you. So there is a lot of transparency here. And I will tell you, there actually is going to be I haven't said it yet, but that Black Friday special is going to have a special discount attached to it. So it's a way to invite people in and have kind of a fun experience with waiting for and learning about a product in a way that is priced to sell and that generates some excitement. So if you do not have a Black Friday offer up yet, it's okay, because personally, I used to kind of gag at the idea of Black Friday offers. I love to shop for my own family on Black Friday, but the whole idea of, I have to put out a Black Friday offer, just, it seemed to me, a little bit corny, until I realized how many content creators like you and me are actually looking for these sorts of deals on Black Friday. In fact, last year at the Inspired Business, we provided a guide on all of the different Black Friday offers, different service providers, technology companies, email service providers, stock photo image providers, all sorts of services related to content creators. It was a list of all the Black Friday deals that they were sharing over the holiday weekend, over Thanksgiving. And I thought, of course, people are waiting to find a deal, whether it's for, you know, their niece Sally's Christmas gift or something that you can use in your business. So that is why we are jumping on this idea of Black Friday this year, because we want to be able to offer something of really great value at a time when you might be looking for it. So I will report back to you on how our Black Friday offer went. I will report back on how engaging in the Black Friday strategy, very strategically, how that actually came to fruition for us. And I'll see if there's anything you can learn from it. But let me know, shoot me an email. Let me know, are you doing a Black Friday offer? And what is your Black Friday offer? And I'll tell you what, if it's something that is really unique to or really valuable to my audience, I would love to share it with them. So shoot me an email at theinspiredbusiness, Becky@theinspiredbusiness.co. That's Becky@theinspiredbusiness.co. And I'd love to hear what your Black Friday offer is. And also, once one more time, wait list to be the first to hear about our Black Friday offer is theinspiredbusiness.co/waitlist. So have a great week, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. God's blessings on you and your business and your family. Until next time, bye-bye. Well, everyone, I am so grateful that you chose to tune into the Inspired Business Podcast today. If this episode blessed you, would you please leave me a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you like to access your favorite shows? When you let other people know that this podcast is worth checking out, that helps me to help more people like you and me, content creators, to serve people, to earn money that's God-honoring, and to change the world with our content. That's what we're all about here at The Inspired Business. And I am so glad that we're walking this out together. I'll see you next time.